Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Our scripture for today comes from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. You will say in that day, I'll give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away and you comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name. Make known his deeds among the nations. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Eric. How's everyone doing this weekend? Pastor Vic is going to be out, obviously, this weekend, and next week is his last weekend here, so y'all make sure you're here. My name is Ed Whipple. I'm the student director here at Stonebridge United Methodist Church, and he has asked me to share in our series called The Bible. And there are three members of a band called Three Dog Night. Anyone know this band, Three Dog Night? Kind of familiar? Good. Danny Hutton, Corey Wells, and Chuck Negron make up this band. During the middle or the early 1970s, their band kind of hit rock bottom. You know how bands have this thing that happens where they just kind of start infighting? Well, during this time, Chuck Negron felt like they just needed to try something different. We just need to shift gears and try something silly, something out of our genre, try just something different. And so there was a guy by the name of Hoyt Axton who had this philosophy of music. And his thought was this: who cares what the words are? Just have really good music. Anyone familiar with this? Just have really, we don't listen to the words. We just really like the rhythm of the song. So this was Hoyt Axton's opinion. And he met Chuck Negron and introduced a song to him. And he was playing this tune and he didn't have any words to it. And so he says, well, just make up some words. And this is what he said: Jeremiah was a prophet and nobody liked that. Jeremiah was a prophet and nobody liked that. Well, they introduced the song, they actually wrote lyrics to it, and they became very popular. The band members hated the song. They hated it. This has got to be the goofiest, silliest thing we have ever heard. We don't want to do the song, but it ended up being one of the most popular songs that they have ever produced. And if y'all know it, it goes something like this. Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. Y'all know this. Joy to, y'all know this? This became one of their most popular songs, and the band hated it. And it was because they were in this rock bottom place in life. And this is exactly where we are in our Bible series now. We're going through the whole Bible, and what I'm going to present to you is basically an outline to encourage you to work through probably some of the hardest scriptures that you will read, and this is the outline of it. Remember that they had hit rock bottom. This is what's called the exile period. And it's, in my opinion, probably the most important period of the Jewish people for two reasons. Number one, they go from an oral tradition where they used to just tell stories about God and their relationship with one another to God, and they writ it down into a written tradition. So we go from a spoken word to a written word, part one. The other part that's most important is this, is it really set the foundation for three religions: for Jerusalem, for Christians, and for Muslims. This is the foundation of all of their beliefs because of these prophets. Now, prophets were unique to Jewish people in the Jewish history only. Every culture, every society had fortune tellers, sorcerers, diviners. Anyone ever read a fortune cookie? Same thing. You read these little pieces of paper and you have faith in what they say and believe. But the Jewish people had prophets. And the difference between diviners, storytellers, fortune tellers, and all those other things, and what a prophet is a prophet is the spoken word of God. That's the difference. This is now the spoken word of God. This isn't just something written on a fortune cookie to benefit you. And that is the biggest difference, is that fortune tellers, diviners, and all of these other people in the past who would foretell the future was to benefit the individual. Does that make sense? The voice of God was to bless the entire nation, to bless the people and to set people in alignment. Traditional prophets did not come into play until after what Vic and David were preaching about last week, which is called the kingdom period. The reason that it's called the kingdom period is for two reasons. Number one, the people wanted a king because all of their societies had a king. And they said, you know what? We need a king. And God said, no, you don't need a king. Just trust in me. But God allowed them to go on their ways, and so they set a king into place. So that's part one of why they were called a kingdom period. And in that kingdom, King David and all of his genre of people created entire nation that we call Jerusalem now, and it was actually a kingdom. So this is the kingdom period. But God did something unique to help this kingdom operate. 1 Samuel 10:24-25 sets this. And this is what's important. Let me back up just a hair. A prophet in that time was appointed by God to be the moral voice of the people. Does that make sense? You have a political leader who was the king. He was a political and military leader. And then you had a prophet who was the moral voice of God that spoke to keep everyone in alignment. Because as kings might have an ego, they might do things that are improper. Are y'all familiar with this? And it was the prophet's job to speak to the king in the things that he's going wrong. So this is taken out of 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 24-25. God set up the relationship. The king's responsibility was to reach out to the people. And the question that we have today is this: how do we know that a prophet isn't full of a bunch of hooey? Y'all ever have that question? How do we know that this guy, oh, I foresee God telling me this, so now I am telling the people this. How do we know this? This is written way back in Deuteronomy 18:21-22. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word of the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass, it's not true. The word of the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken in presumption, and you need not be afraid of him. So if it comes true, they're a prophet. If it doesn't, they're not. God's kind of simple that way. Okay? Very basic. And the most important part, especially in the building of the kingdom, is this. Prophets believed that God had entered into them in some way and that they were commanded to speak the voice of God. Part two. The people believed that God had entered into this person and that their job was to speak the truth of God. Make sense? The same thing is true that holds us today. Now this brings us into what we call the exile period. And if you're going to do a Bible study, and I really encourage you to try to do this in the next week. This is a lot of reading. But the books that I'm going to be talking about today is Amos, Isaiah, Jeremiah. And if you have a Catholic Bible, it's called the Baruch, or the Apocrypha Bible, it's called Baruch. These are the stories I'm going to focus into as we go into this period called the exile. Now, Jerusalem has already formed under King David, and with all the political infighting that had gone on, they had split. Could you imagine that? People having ego attitudes and saying, I'm the right person, I'm the right person. And so they have now one kingdom with two parts, okay? There were two thrones in there. Amos was the prophet for the northern kingdom, and Isaiah was the prophet for the southern kingdom. And this is what happens. It was a time of social and moral decay. King Uzziah was the king of Judah, meaning the northern kingdom. It had grown wicked, and there was a shepherd boy by the name of Amos who was kind of wandering the hills. And as shepherd boys have a tendency to do, they just kind of hang around the sheep, don't have people to hang out with. He observes things. He's observing people. He's observing culture. He knows his scripture. He knows God. And he's saying, these two aren't lining up. So the word of God goes into Amos. And he begins to tell them, you better change your way. Repent. Don't do what you're doing. Isaiah tried to speak to the king, tried to speak to the people, but he, as typically what happens to prophets, are rejected. King Uzziah elected a prophet that he liked because this prophet would say what he wanted him to say. Kind of makes sense? I'll pay this guy and he'll say what I want him to say. This prophet basically told the king, you need to get rid of Amos. This guy is causing problems within town, and they're beginning to listen to other people instead of the king and me. And they chase him out of town. And this is what Amos basically tells them. You will go into exile. Now, this is the first time this has ever been shown in Scripture. This is a big deal. For us, it's a story. But for them, this was reality. What are you talking about? This is God's kingdom here on earth. How are you telling us that we are going to be chased away? That we are no longer going to be here? And what that means for us today is your house is gone. You're kicked out of your town. You have no more culture. The place that you worship is gone. That's what this means. Amos says these words, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon this sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the surface of the ground." This is written out of Amos 9, verses 8. But I would challenge you to read the whole story. There's only 10 chapters in Amos. And it's a really good story. And he ends it with this. "Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon this sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the surface of the ground." It wasn't like, oh, things are going to be bad. You're going to hit rock bottom. No, this is God saying, bam, you're out of here. It's done. And at the same time, the prophet Isaiah was in the southern kingdom, predicting pretty much the same thing that Amos was. Isaiah cried out for peace, tolerance, and to accept those that were from other parts of the world. But the people failed to listen. Isaiah is the longest book in the Bible. That's why this is going to be challenging, but I challenge you to read it. Isaiah is the longest book in the Bible, but it's the most poetic. The importance of Isaiah is pivotal for Christians because of all of the prophecies of Jesus, okay? The reason Isaiah is so important is because everything that it says about Jesus. So hopefully you'll listen to the podcast and go back and reread these verses. But Isaiah 7:14 talks about the virgin birth. Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7 talks about that Jesus will be called the Son of God. Isaiah 35, 4 through 6 says that Jesus will perform miracles. Chapter 40, verses 1 through 5 and verse 9 talks about John the Baptist. Isaiah 49, verses 6 talks about salvation for the Jews and the Gentiles. Isaiah 50, verse 6 talks about how the Messiah will be spit upon and be beaten. Isaiah 52 talks about how the Messiah will be rejected. And then Isaiah, all of 53, basically talks about how the Messiah would die for our sins, how he would be silent before his accusers, and how he would be buried in a rich tomb. Isaiah is pivotal in our understanding as Christians about who Jesus is. And this is why he's one of the favored prophets. But this is what's going on now. As Amos predicted, Judah is destroyed. The Assyrians come in from the north, take all the people out in the area, and the town is obliterated, just as Amos had predicted because of the people's sin. Now, the southern kingdom, where Isaiah was, there was a king by the name of Ahaz, and he was considering joining the Babylonian forces, who were the people of the south. So you got this northern group, and you got the southern group, and Israel was right in the middle of it. And King Ahaz of the southern kingdom basically said, "Why don't we join the Babylonians to fight the Assyrians?" And Isaiah says, "Uh-uh, no, do not do that. It is only God that you need to trust in, and he will take care of us." All right? This is taken out of Isaiah 37, verses 33 through 37. So this is what the Lord says about the king of Assyria. "He will not enter into the city or even shoot an arrow here. He will not fight against it with a shield or build a ramp to attack the city walls. He will return to this country the same way that he came, and he will not enter into the city," says the Lord. "I will defend and save this city for the sake of my kingdom," says my servant David. Then the Lord went out and killed 185,000 men of Assyrian camp. The people got up early the next morning, and they found dead bodies everywhere. So Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, left and went back through Nineveh and stayed there. So just as Isaiah had predicted, trust in God and he will take care of the situation. And this is the biggest problem that the next prophet that we are going to talk about had to deal with. Will God always protect Jerusalem? And for our sake, will God always protect us? Will God always protect the city of Jerusalem? Jeremiah was a prophet called by birth. He wasn't a bullfrog. Babylonians were threatening from the south to take over Jerusalem, and he cried out for the people to repent because of internal strife and internal struggle, and more importantly, idol worship that was going on in the southern kingdom. There were many false prophets in their area. Jeremiah preached against oppression, corruption, false prophets. He was despised by his family, religious leaders, and hated pretty much by all. He was dismissed as a false prophet, a fool, and a traitor of God, and most important, a traitor to Jerusalem. Jeremiah was commanded to write this by God. And you have to understand that all of the people of Jerusalem believed that God was always going to protect them. And this is what Jeremiah says. Hear the word of the Lord, family of Jacob, all of my family groups of Israel. This is what the Lord says. I was fair to your ancestors, so why did you turn away from me? Your ancestors worshipped useless gods and became useless themselves. Your ancestors didn't say, where's the Lord who brought us out of Egypt? He led us through the desert, through the dry and rocky lands, and through the dark and dangerous places. He led there where no travelers would go. I brought you into this fertile land so that you could eat its fruit and produce. But you came and made my place unclean, and it's hateful. And this is taken out of Jeremiah 26, 8 through 11. When Jeremiah finished preaching everything that the Lord had commanded him to say, the priests, the prophets, and all the people of the area of Jeremiah grabbed him. They said, you must die. To Jeremiah, how dare you prophesy in the name of the Lord that this temple would be destroyed like the one in Shiloh? How dare you say that Jerusalem will become desert without anyone to live in it? And all of the people crowded around Jeremiah and in the temple of the Lord. Now, when the officials of Judah heard about what was happening, they came out to the king's place and went up to the temple of the Lord and took their places at the entrance gate. Then the priest and the prophet said to the officers and all the people of the area, Jeremiah should be killed. He prophesied against Jerusalem, and you heard him yourself. So Jeremiah was saying what everyone didn't want to hear. And he said that things would be taken apart. So they go before the king, which his name is King Jehoiakim, He takes the scroll, pulls out his sword, and cuts it to pieces. Everything that Jeremiah had written, he pulls out a sword and cuts it to pieces, paper shredding, literally, and he burns it. And it was at this time, Jeremiah takes a yoke that they would put on an ox and walks around Jerusalem for years, reminding the people that if you do not repent, this is what's going to happen to you. This yoke is going to be upon you, all right? Him and Baruch started preaching again, and then they were imprisoned, thrown into a pile of feces, and basically left to die. And they finally chased him out of the town, okay? And he never returned once he left for Egypt. And as Jeremiah predicted, the Babylonians came in from the south. They were carried off into exile, never to return. Never to return. And here is where the relationship of the king, being the military and political leader, and the prophet ends. This is where that relationship completely ends. And as Hoyt Axton said, Jeremiah was a prophet, and nobody liked that. Jeremiah was a prophet, and nobody liked that. Do you remember the band Three Dog Night? They had hit rock bottom. They had hit rock bottom. This is exactly what happened to Israel when they went into exile. They are at rock bottom. They looked into their past, they looked into their sin, and they began to ask the question, where did we go wrong? They recorded the words of history, and this is why we have probably 85, if not 90% of this Bible, because they reflected on their sin. And they still hoped in God. Now, some of you in this room may be at that rock bottom moment of your life. I can almost guarantee you somebody in this room is in that situation. And if you haven't, some of you have been there. And you know what that's like. I would challenge you to look into your past. I would challenge you to record your story. And I would challenge you to repent, as all of the prophets have said. But most of all, hope in God. Hope in God. God will use the rock bottom moments in our life to perform what's called the resurrection. He will use those rock bottom moments in life to resurrect your life to a new place. Now, God uses the church, this church, as a means for people who have rock bottom moments in their lives. The purpose of the church is to help people in those moments. It will help them look into their past to share their story, but most of all, hope in God. Now, in our own community, in Granbury, Texas, and in Moore, Oklahoma, I would say some people have hit some pretty hard rock bottom moments. And this church has been called. We have a first response team through UMCOR who has gone to Granbury this past weekend. And we even had a group this on Thursday make cookies and had a fundraiser for Moore, Oklahoma. This is entering into the rock bottom places of people's lives. Now, the story of Jeremiah doesn't end there. This is something that Isaiah wrote in the first part of his writings. In the last days, the mountain on which the Lord's temple stands will become the most important of all mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the people of all nations will come to strengthen it. Many nations will come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, the temple of God of Jacob. Then God will teach us his ways, and we will obey his teachings. His teachings will go out from Jerusalem. The message of the Lord will go out from that place, and he will settle arguments among the nations, and he will make decisions for many nations. Then they will make their swords into plows and their spears into hooks for trimming of trees. Nations will no longer fight nations, nor will they train for war anymore." This is the hope that we have. And as the band basically sang in Matthew 5, verse 16, in the same way, you should be a light for other people, because you are the light of the world. And you have to let your light shine. Let us pray. Dear Father God, the prophets are so hard to read through, to work through. But we thank you for their story because they show us that you will use the rock bottom parts of our lives to resurrect us. We thank you for all of the prophets and the prophecies that they gave about Jesus so that we can have faith in him. Be with each and every one of us as we go through our rock bottom places so that you can resurrect us. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.